It's my pleasure now in this segment of Inside Maine with Phil Herrmann to welcome the governor of the state of Maine, Governor Paul LePage. Governor, thanks for joining us here on Inside Maine with Phil Herrmann. Thanks for taking part of your Saturday to be with us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Governor, I got a bunch of topics I want to dive into, and
sure.
One of them, I say this when I had the honor of serving in the state Senate under the McKernan administration and the King administration. The Department of Health and Human Services computer systems was forever, a black hole of money much of the time that I had to serve. And lately, as I'm sure you're well aware, some of the legislative leaders on the Democratic Party have used some rather inflammatory language, including calling the department commissioner a liar, there's a cover-up, you're bullying the legislature. Can we just take a moment and ask you to give us the rest of the story, or the other side of the story?
Well, listen, this problem that we've uncovered was uncovered in July of 2010, and they said they would have it ready by September 2010.
Who's they?
They, the Democrats. The prior administration who put in the system wanted to get it started in September of 2010. They discovered there was a big problem in July. It would have prevented the start of the system, which some people who we now find out who worked there, who have finally come to us and told us that they've known about this since July 2010, who were afraid to speak up last year because there were some people that were still there, that were still involved and were not friends of our administration, would not speak up. And now they have finally come through and told us what's going on. Basically, this system was not ready to start in September 2010. They started it anyways from pressure from CMS in Washington, from pressure from Brenda Harvey. They started it. It wasn't ready.
So the Center for Medicaid Services and the former Commissioner Harvey said, we know it's not perfect, but let's go live anyway?
Let's go live because the former system wasn't working. And unfortunately, this system never ran parallel. They turned one switch off and one switch on. And then we find out that this system was an off-the-shelf system. But instead of operating it, teaching the employees of the state of Maine to learn a new system, they're modifying the system so that they don't have to change their work habits, which is insanity.
Wow.
And so now we discovered this problem back in January, and I don't know where they're thinking about lying and all this kind of stuff. The fact of the matter is the ACES system does not communicate with the Molina system.
So that's ACES is the former system, Molina is the new system?
Well, one is the one that establishes eligibility, and Molina is the new management system that pays all the claims.
Okay.
They don't communicate. We weren't aware of that, and nobody said anything. And this thing about we firing people last year, when we came here, all of the people that were working, all the appointed people in charge of that system had resigned before I got there on January 5th.
So appointed people serve at the pleasure of the governor. They're not part of the state employees union.
They're not civil servants.
Yeah.
And the civil servants, many of the management level, which has been a problem for the whole year of 2011, were telling people to keep quiet. So
wow.
Now we've discovered this. And it is a problem. And quite frankly, this isn't going to be the last problem of this system. I will tell the Maine people right now, we don't know this system that well because it's not working.
We're talking with Governor Paul LePage. You're listening to Inside Maine with Phil Herrmann. We're discussing in this segment of the program the inflammatory accusations coming from legislators about the computer problems at the Department of Health and Human Services. So as you uncovered these inconsistencies or lack of credibility in the system, tell us how we got to the point where the commissioner is accused of lying.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That's coming from a little spoiled brat from Portland that he's very fortunate that his granddad was born ahead of him. I don't know that. I don't know why they're calling her a liar. She is probably the most honest, hardworking individual I've ever run across. This lady is putting in 70 and 80 and 90 hours a week. She probably sleeps 3 hours a night. She's constantly in the office. She's constantly working to try to appease the people in the Appropriations Committee, and they turn around calling her a liar and stuff. And I have no idea why they do that. I mean,
well,
I have the most respect for her intelligence and her hard work of any people in state government.
We're talking with Governor Paul LePage. You're listening to Inside Maine with Phil Harriman. Well, the Democrats, or at least some on the Appropriations Committee, Governor, say that Commissioner came before the legislature knowing there was a problem and didn't reveal it until after the budget was passed. What's your side of the story?
I don't know that to be the truth. I don't know where that came from, because I found out just a couple of weeks ago, and knowing Mary Mayhew, she would have never held anything from me. So she's been forthcoming. In fact, she usually comes to me prior to going to the appropriations or anyone. So whoever is saying that is simply not correct.
Is it fair to say that the system has got so many, lack of credibility aspects to it, that even the numbers they're getting is hard to believe, and therefore revealing information about things that they can't verify is part of this problem?
That's correct. I'm not going to sit back and say that what the information they're getting is 100% correct. We've never said that. I've never said that. It's the best information we have at the time they ask it.
So tell us, go ahead.
We're doing our best to get that system to work. It is a system that, one, it was the planning was done improperly, the implementation was done improperly, there was no parallel running, and they were modifying a system that was never intended to be modified. And so we're doing the best we can to get it working. The federal government certified the system, and we're trying to operate it. What I have done is I've taken the best of the best that we have in the government, in the OIT, the Office of Information Technology, the Comptroller's Office, both directors are hands-on, working to find out what we can do to modify, fix, and get this behind us. But to start slinging accusations and lies, listen, there is so much going on in state government that we are trying to be forthcoming and honest, and we have nothing but shots over the bow from the Democrats. It's just awful.
We're talking with Governor Paul LePage. You're listening to Inside Maine with Phil Harriman. Finally, let me just ask, you stated a few moments ago that more problems are likely to surface. Do you have any that you're concerned about now?
Yeah, there is over 300 items on the punch list.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and when we came in, there was about 700. And so out of those 300, we are now having the people evaluate each one to see which ones may have high risk, because they're taking them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and now we're going down through the pile and trying to see which ones are high risk items. And we have Molina involved, we have the Comptroller's Office involved, and we have the Office of Information Technology involved. And if need be, I'll hire some outside consultants to come in. But, you know, we had companies like Deloitte accounting firm, Barry Dunn. We've had a lot of people on this system, many of them who knew there was a problem, who never said anything, many who just didn't even know that there was a problem.
We're talking with Governor Paul LePage on Inside Maine with Phil Harriman. Governor, I'm going to kind of put that one off to the side. I've got a bunch of other things I'd like to talk to you about, including
sure.
Your education proposals and energy. Let's go to the education proposal. You put in four what might be described as significant or bold pieces of legislation. Walk us through what's happened to them since the legislature's got them.
Since the legislature's got them, they're saying that we're a bunch of crooks again, same kind of stuff. What we are trying to do here is we were trying to put some legislation in that we could evaluate teachers effectively, so that if they need further development, we'd put further development in. We wanted to give the parents, some school districts have choice and some don't. We are trying to introduce choice so that parents and children could decide where they want to go to, you know, where they want their children, the students, to go to school. That's under fire by the Democrats. Then we said religious schools and technical schools. We want to give them, make sure that kids have access to them. That's going down with by flames. This is what our four bills try to do. What is best for the student? That has been I asked that question from the beginning. I said, you ask this question, what is best for the student? And then design the laws and the regulations under that title. And if we do that, then everybody should want what is best for the students. Now, the superintendents group went crazy and the unions went crazy. Let me tell you this. The state of Maine pays $14,000 per student. We have 185,000 students and we have 120 superintendents. That equates to one superintendent for 1,500 students. The national average for K through 12 is $10,000. Some of the states that are kicking our butts in education are spending somewhere between $6,700 and $9,000 per student, and they're doing much better results than we have. You have a state like Florida who has 4.8 million students with 63 superintendents. So there's a problem with the high end, the top of our education system. Governor Baldacci was absolutely correct in trying to reduce it from 280 down to 120. But frankly, it needs to come all the way down to 16. One superintendent per county is all this state needs. We don't have enough students. The unions, I went to the unions and I said this, give me, for every dollar you put up for continued teacher development, the state will match it. And so we can put the best teachers forward for our students. They've refused. The state of Maine has the lowest class size in the country. And when I went to the unions, I said, you know, the reason why we have a problem is you are protecting bad teachers, and you do absolutely nothing for good teachers, and we have the lowest paid teachers in the United States, and that's inappropriate.
We're talking with Governor Paul LePage. You're listening to Inside Maine with Phil Hammerman. We're talking now about the education proposals that the governor introduced before the legislature. Can I take just two relatively hot-button pieces?
Sure.
The school choice aspect in terms of dollars following students going into faith-based schools, that was law. That was allowed before 1981. Clearly that has been changed. Why take on that fight?
Well, let me tell you this. I came from the streets. I was a runaway kid at 11. I was on the streets. I went to a parochial school, and the reason it was good for me is I needed enormous discipline when I was a kid. We don't have that in public schools. So faith-based schools have a different way of teaching, and it worked for me. So I believe there might be some other kids out there like me that need a good education, and it's probably going to come from the faith base. It wasn't the religious part of it that was good. It was the brothers being stern, and you look at my knuckles, they still show that they were hit a few times.
Oh, boy, that's going to get a few responses.
My feeling about that is very simply this. Every child learns differently, and we should make available to our children every opportunity there is for education. Not everybody learns in an academic environment. We should make the technical schools front and center so the kids that want to become tradesmen, that want to become electricians or digital workers and professionals and people that want to go into electricity, plumbing, carpentry, have the opportunity. But we keep hitting a wall with the Democrats.
We're talking with Governor Paul LePage about education. I've only got a couple of minutes here, Governor. I'm wondering if you can touch quickly on the technical training high schools. You've got some frustrations with the districts that share those centers. What are you trying to do there?
What we're trying to do is to put them into the funding formula like everything else, because what's happening, Phil, and it's unfortunate, here in the capital city, we have a very good technical school. I've been through it. They have 540 or 590 available seats. They have 400 students. There's a waiting line of a couple hundred kids that would like to go there, but they're prevented from going there because of the superintendent controlling the seats. They don't want to take the money out of the, say, Coney High School, for instance. They don't want to take money away from there and send students over to technical school. That's sinful.
Wow.
That's absolutely sinful. And Maine people ought to step up and get angry about that, because kids are forced to stay into a history class when they would be much better off in drafting or in printing, and they're not allowed to study what they want. And I think that's sinful.
We're talking with Governor Paul LePage. You're listening to Inside Maine with Phil Harriman. We're talking about the governor's proposal on education as they work their way through the legislature. Governor, I'm wondering if I might impose upon you. I've got a bunch of other things I'd like to talk to you about. Is your schedule such that you could join us after the 11 o'clock news?
Absolutely.
That's great. Thank you. We will put you on hold, Governor. Thank you for listening to Inside Maine with Phil Harriman. We'll be right back with Governor Paul LePage as we talk about the Department of Health and Human Services, education, and I want to get back on track when we come back and talk about energy. You're listening to Inside Maine with Phil Harriman. Governor, welcome back.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Governor, I just got a couple more questions on the education aspect, and then
sure.
I'd like to move on to energy if we could. You had a bill that addressed teacher evaluation. That's always an interesting topic, at least when I was in the state Senate. Where is that bill, and what is its goals?
The goal of that bill is to evaluate every teacher on an annual basis so that we find, one, we can identify those that are good performers and strong performers, and identify those that may have some deficiencies and need some improvement. And I think that bill may pass, and I'm hoping it passes, because for once and for all, if we identify a teacher that has some deficiencies, we can do something about it, put them into some training programs, and get them what is needed in order to get their skill level and their proficiency up to where they'll be effective in the classroom.
We're talking with Governor Paul LePage about his education initiatives. Governor, real briefly, some of the criticism of the teacher evaluation is that it doesn't address that in different parts of the states there are different needs, whether it's language or preparedness for learning or nutrition. How does the bill avoid teachers being entrapped, so to speak, in an evaluation that doesn't represent the personality of the students they're teaching?
See, we're going back to a side of the issue that I've been trying to deal with, is to make sure that teachers have proficiency in the subject matter in which they teach.
Oh.
If you take Finland, Hong Kong, Singapore, Canada, who are the top four education systems in the world, we're about 27th, they do not allow anyone in the classroom until they have got a proficiency in the subject matter. We don't do that in the United States. What we do, particularly here in Maine, all you need is a teaching certificate in order to go teach. And for what I mean by that is, I could teach at the university level in finance and economics, but I cannot teach a bookkeeping class in high school because I'm not a certified teacher.
Hmm.
And that's where we're trying to address. We're trying to get professionalism in the classroom and address the proficiency level. For instance, in Maine, we don't allow second career teachers. Someone who comes out of, let's say, a historian, Michael Beschloff, who's most renowned historical writer in the country, cannot teach history in high school in the state of Maine.
Wow. Governor, finally, on the topic of education, could we just hover, say, a mile up in the air over the education system as you see it as governor, and give us sort of your view of where we are and where we're going?
Yeah, where we are is an election year. That's where we're going. It's an election year, so there's a real tendency from the legislature to have status quo. They do not want to make changes during election year. Particularly, the Democratic Party is necessary. They need the teacher vote in November to stay in, you know, to get elected. And so, therefore, they want status quo. The union and all their money goes to the Dems, and so if they don't fall in line, they're going to lose. And therefore, so that, you got to give them up. They're not going to help us. The Republicans are nervous because they want to get elected. So they're, a lot of them are in status quo mode. What we really need is to put the students first. And that's what the Mile High view for me is. We are about mediocre in the country. The country is 27th in the world. We need, and I'm looking to make Maine the education state. I would love to see our students being very proficient when they leave high school. I'd like to see the 54% remedial training that goes into the community college to train our kids to make them ready for college eliminated. I'd like to see the 25% remedial work done at the University of Maine eliminated by making sure our kids get it from K through 12 and they're ready for college when they come out. Whether it's college, whether it's technical school, I don't really care as long as education does one of two things. One is it prepares our kids for life and life after school so that they can be good contributing citizens, and two, that we train them and we teach them a skill so they can earn a living. Those are the two critical things. And quite frankly, I don't care if it's out of a textbook or out of a wood shop. As long as when they leave, they have good social skills and they can work.
We're talking with Governor Paul LePage. You're listening to Inside Maine with Phil Harriman. Finally, Governor, I'd just like to touch upon, you've been very out front and bold about the need to lower electricity costs here in the state of Maine. Frame that up for us, and then I'd like to switch to what's going on with some of the legislation. So give us the big picture of your view of energy.
My view of energy is the state of Maine is the 12th highest electricity cost state in the United States. We are 12th highest. We cannot compete on a national basis or an international basis globally. We spend here in Maine $400 million a year. Now I'll repeat it, $400 million per year above the national average, and we have only 1.3 million people. That's where we are. Where I'm trying to go with electricity, I'm trying to get the legislature to remove the 100 megawatt limitation on hydro energy. Now, hydro energy is a renewable energy. And so I'm trying to remove the 100 megawatt limitation.
And that's the energy mix as by legislation, and you Public Utilities Commission says the most we can accept here is 100
megawatts.
Right. Anything above that has to come from a different fuel source?
That's correct. It's no longer considered a renewable above 100 megawatts, and we're not by law allowed to buy it. So I have an opportunity to go to Quebec and have Quebec sell us electricity for between 5 and 6 cents. The standard offer is currently about 7.6 to 8 cents, depending whether you're in southern Maine or northern Maine. And so I have the opportunity to cut the electricity cost between 10 and 20% for the Maine homes. And the Democrats and some Republicans won't let us do it because they are in bed with wind, and wind is the highest cost energy in the Maine state portfolio.
That just defies logic. What's the backstory here?
Backstory is you have companies like the renewable energy companies, the paper companies that have all their own generation, and they sell some to the grid. That's all very expensive power. And frankly, I'm a businessman. I believe in profits, but I don't believe in being greedy. And that's what's happening. And the Democrats, 100% of the Democrats, and I'll even read them off.
No,
don't. Senator Bartlett, Jim Hink, Alexander Cornell DeHoo, Mark Dion, Louis LaChina, Roberta Beavers, all don't even want to engage in the conversation. And unfortunately, we have Senator Chris Rector and Representative Stacey Fitz, who makes his living off wind, voting against it. It defies logic that we would have elected officials that would not lower the cost of energy in state. And we have, if you ask any business, what is the biggest inhibitor of creating jobs in Maine, they will say energy cost. And these people do not want to lower energy costs. And I just find it appalling. I find it unethical. And I think that the people in November ought to remember those names.
We're talking with Governor Paul LePage. You're listening to Inside Maine with Phil Harriman. Governor, always a fascinating conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your Saturday to join us here on Inside Maine. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. And in closing, I'd like to say this. The state of Maine can continue down the path of being a welfare state, or we can revive the American dream. Reviving the American dream takes some tough courage and some tough decisions in Augusta. So please remember in November, are you voting for somebody with courage?
Governor, well said. Thank you very much for joining us. All the best to you and yours, and give our best to the First Lady.
Absolutely. Nice talking to you, Phil.
All right. All the best.